The Denver Broncos are getting ready to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. We go through our keys to victory. If the Broncos are going to come out with another road win, not to mention players to watch and players that we feel need to step up, we break all that action down on today's brand new episode, Locked on Broncos.
You are Locked on Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast. Part of the Locked on Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back in to a brand new episode of Lockdown Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast here on the Lockdown NFL Network, your team every day from the South Stands to the end zone. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, joined alongside my co-host, Sarah Bettinger. Both of us, we cover the Denver Broncos for the Lockdown NFL Network, 4-9 News, and you can catch all the action. Lockdown Broncos is free and available everywhere you get your podcast. Not to mention, you can watch us on YouTube on your phone, tablet, or computer, or smart TV. On the YouTube channel, Lockdown Broncos. So hit that subscribe button so you never miss out on a day's worth of Broncos news content coverage. Sarah, my friend, we are just a little bit of ways away from kickoff here for the Denver Broncos. And get a little antsy. Obviously, the Broncos left on Friday evening to Jacksonville. Saturday, they're going to have the day to relax. But let's get into this conversation, my man. Great to see you. Let's get into the game.
Great to see you too, Cody. I love it. I'm trying to, you know, relish everything right now because it just feels as quickly as we went from week one now to week two. I feel like, man, this football season's going to fly by. So trying to really enjoy everything. You know, I was wearing my Broncos flops yesterday and we got to get everything out right now to make sure we enjoy and savor every day, every victory. But it's all good, man. And I'm excited for this game.
Absolutely, my friend. Well, Sarah, you know, let's start off with our keys to victory here. I'll share mine when it pertains to offense, defense, special teams. If you want to share any of your thoughts on mine, you can, and then you can share yours. But I want to start off on the defensive side of the ball. This may sound cliche, but this is also something that, as a defense coordinator myself, someone who's called defenses, who's played defense, this is exactly everything our coaches told us every single time we had a game on the whiteboard. He drew it up. The defense has to be +3 in turnovers, so +3 in takeaways. I would love to see the Broncos get a couple of interceptions. I know we talked about, don't know if Trevor Lawrence is going to replicate a 3-interception performance against Denver, but you want to at least come ahead in the turnover department, +3 as a defense, whether it comes through interceptions, fumble recoveries. Denver's going to have to do that, in my opinion. I think on the road here, in the heat, as Tony Wiggins alluded to in our crossover, for the Broncos defense to take care of business. Now on the offensive side of the ball, you got to go with the ground and pound mentality. A lot of 12 and a lot of 13 personnel. I want to see the Broncos run the ball here against Jacksonville. Jacksonville gave up 165 yards on the ground last week. Well, guess what? The Broncos, they had 160 on the ground between Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams. Do that again, except could, in fact, the Broncos have two 100-yard rushers against Jacksonville? I would love to see that. That would be my best case scenario. Dream come true. Right now, very unrealistic to say at this point, but that's a pipe dream right now. But ground and pound, run the football out of 12 and 13 personnel with these running backs. And then where do we go here now, right? Special teams, right? Last week, I think we talked about the fact that don't make any big mistakes. Well, you know, I'm going to up the ante a little bit here, Sarah. And on the special team side of the ball for the Broncos, I'm going to challenge Deontay Spencer, whoever it may be, even kick returners. I want to see a 20-plus yard punt return to help flip field position. I believe that the best last week was 12 or 11 yards by Spence. Good. I want to see a big one, 20-plus for the Broncos. And these are my three keys to the game. Sarah, what are your keys to victory here for the Denver Broncos in those three departments?
Well, I'm definitely for your three keys, Cody. If we could see all that stuff come to pass, you know, I'm in. I'm game for that, especially the three turnovers. Wow, like that's something that we need desperately. We need a big game like that, I think, to get that momentum going for the defense of just like, hey, we can do this every single week. We can attack the football. We can make plays on the ball. We can change the game for our offense and dominate teams that way. So I love that key. For me, Cody, defensively, to start, my key is pressure, pressure, pressure. That's what I want to see. You're playing against a rookie quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. He is now. I don't care how good he's going to be. Get pressure on any quarterback in the NFL, and you stand a good chance of winning the game. So I want to see consistent pressure against that Jacksonville Jaguars offensive line. And of course, you know, the Broncos are against a ton of mobile quarterbacks. I think that's an underrated aspect of Trevor Lawrence's game, the fact that he can get out of the pocket and make some plays with his legs. But definitely, definitely get pressure on him and make him rattled back there. That was kind of my key for week one, right, against Daniel Jones. But anytime you're facing any sort of young quarterback, Daniel Jones, we know, struggled with turning the ball over. Trevor Lawrence, he's just a young quarterback with new teammates, a new offense, city. You know, get him rattled back there and make kind of overthink things. Make him throw a couple overthrows because he's anticipating getting hit. Get pressure early and often. Offensively, Cody, my key to this game is for Teddy Bridgewater. Go out there and do it again. We know Teddy. We know we've seen the stats. You know, you set the Broncos franchise record for completion percentage in a debut start. Phenomenal. Love to see it. Now you've got to go out there and do it again. And I'll up the ante a little bit on that too, Cody. I'll say not only do it again, but be even better. We talked with Tim Jenkins earlier this week about, you know, a couple of missed throws. Man, that would have been a huge play for the offense. The underthrow to KJ Hamler, which of course we know KJ's got to catch that ball. But at the same time, an underthrow to KJ Hamler. Hit those kinds of plays. Make those big plays. Distribute the ball well. Teddy, go out there and do it again and be even better this week. For special teams, Cody, I don't have anything bad to say about Tom McMahon today, but what I am going to say is keep the punter off the field. Keep Sam Martin off the field unless he's holding for Brandon McManus on an extra point or field goal. That's a key to the game for me here, and it's not because we weren't very good in the punting game last week. The thing that I want to see that for is just the fact of, again, continue your aggressiveness on fourth down. Don't be foolish, you know, don't be stupid about it, but continue being aggressive on fourth down when it's appropriate. And that also means, you know, for the offense, you've got to keep converting on third down. So those are my three keys to the game, Cody. And I think that, you know, if we see all six of our keys come to pass in this game, we're talking like 40 something to like 3 or 6. I mean, that's what I'm looking for.
Man, it'd be nice to get that. And obviously we don't know how the game's going to go, but you know, I here's a bold prediction, Sarah. Because the Broncos, they went for it on fourth down 3 of 3 last week. I imagine the Broncos find themselves in a fourth and short situation, maybe 4th and 3, 4th and 2. I would imagine, and this is a prediction here, that the Broncos, they're going to do a hard count on fourth down. They're going to get Jacksonville to jump because Denver has a tendency so far through week one to go for it on fourth, and they did do it. So Jacksonville is going to anticipate that they're actually going to go for it, get them with great the hard point. Count, keep the drive alive. Bold prediction. I think that's what we're going to see. I might put some money on it somewhere for great one of these call. Things, man. But Broncos country, let us know what your keys to victory are, whether or not you agree with Sarah and I in the comment section below on YouTube or on Twitter at @CodyRourkeNFL. That's Sarah Bettinger at Lockdown Broncos. But Broncos country coming up here in just a moment. Sarah and I, we're going to give our players to watch on both the offense and defensive side of the ball this Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. But before we do that, let me tell you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar in the entire world, not to mention the best protein bar that we love over here at the Locked On Podcast Network. My personal favorite, peanut butter brownie. Sarah likes the mint brownie. He also likes the grasshopper cookie, which is a combination of thin mint and fudge. They have a flavor for everybody in your family. And even if you want to try all the flavors, you can go to built.com and you can order yourself a mixed box that sends you every flavor that they have to offer. And you can decide for yourself which flavor you like. Not to mention they're the healthiest protein bar on the market. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, and only 4 grams of sugar. That's why we rock with Built Bar, ladies and gentlemen. And we want you to get your hands on a box today by going to built.com. And when you go to checkout, make sure you use promo code LOCKED15. That's going to get you 15% off your next order at checkout. Once again, promo code LOCK15 gets you 15% off your next order at built.com. All right, Sarah, getting into our players to watch in the Broncos-Jaguars matchup this Sunday. This is the early kickoff, 11 a.m. Mountain Time, 1 Eastern Time, 12 in the Central Time Zone for those of you that are trying to figure that out and keep tabs at home. Both Sarah and myself will also have you covered on Twitter, on our Twitter handles, respectively, live tweeting the game, breaking it down, and we're going to have you covered with a post-game report on Sunday following the Broncos-Jaguars game. You get that here exclusively on YouTube first, and then it'll be aired on the podcast side of things in the audio format on Monday for your drive to work, or if you have the day off, you get to just sit back, relax, and then hopefully enjoy another victory Monday. But Sarah, players to watch here for the Broncos. I'm going to start off on the offensive side of the ball. I'm going to go with Noah Fant. I felt like for him last week, coming off of the game where he was a target for Teddy Bridgewater early and often, we're starting to see why the Broncos have invested a lot in him and why the expectations for him are so high. Now, against a team like the Jaguars, who gave up almost 450 yards of offense last week to the Houston Texans, who we all had thought coming into the season was probably the worst overall roster in the National Football League in comparison. Now, the Jaguars, we kind of have that vibe there. But this is also a game where I think that the Broncos, despite the fact that they cannot overlook Jacksonville in any facet, because that those types of situations, knowing the Broncos' history in East Coast time zone games, I'm very skeptical about just saying, you know what, they're going to go in there, they're going to blow the brakes off them. Ideally, in a great world, that would be the case. But Noah Fant, I expect him to have a big game, and it kind of ties in with our key to the game. A lot of 12 and 13 personnel. Noah Fant's going to be in the game a lot. Those crossing patterns, I think we might even see him outstretched sometimes vertically. I would like to see him matched up, though, on the outside one-on-one against a smaller DB. But a player to watch if you're Broncos country, I think Noah Fant is going to be one of those players in this game. Now, Sarah, on the offensive side of the ball, who is a player that you believe Broncos country absolutely needs to keep their eye on?
Got
to
keep your eyes on 14, Cody, Courtland Sutton. I love the pick that you made of Noah Fant. I think he's going to have a huge impact on this game as well, not just as a receiver, but like you mentioned in your keys to victory, in the running game as well. So I like that pick, and I love Courtland Sutton in this game. You know, we talk about a number of guys this week, you know, throughout the week on the different shows that we've done, who kind of need to bounce back a little bit. Of course, not a ton of negative to take from this game, right? But Courtland Sutton coming off of a one catch outing against the New York Giants, really interested to see. And of course, you never want anybody to get injured, but that Jerry Jeudy injury could really open things up between Teddy Bridgewater and Courtland Sutton. Only 3 targets for Sutton against the New York Giants, and I know for sure that one of them was really a target intended to kind of work Sutton into the game, right? That deep route from Teddy Bridgewater against James Adoree Jackson. Yeah, exactly. That was a design play to get Courtland involved in the action. It wasn't necessarily a just flow of the game thing. I think they were trying deliberately to involve him in the package there. So I want to see just more chemistry between he and Bridgewater. I want to see going to him on slants. I want to see them exploiting different kinds of coverage. I want to see a lot of targets for Courtland Sutton this week, and I think we're going to see that, Cody. I know the Jaguars have some talented DBs, but Sutton is a guy that I expect to come out there and dominate in this type of atmosphere.
I like it, and I hope that he can get that too, because you know, we did tell Broncos country last week leading up to the Giants game that, hey, you know what, don't be surprised if things start to, you know, it takes a little bit of time for Courtland to get to where I think we all want him to be, you know. But then again, like, it goes back to the targets, right? He only had a couple of targets in that game, so you have to increase that. Now, if his targets start to decrease, I think that's where we have concern, saying, okay, hey, Pat Shurmur, look, if the Broncos offense is having success, okay, why is it? Is it because of the run? Is it because of the pass? And if it's because of the pass, who's getting the targets? Well, if this guy's getting the targets, teams are going to start to account for that, and then you need to find other guys here. I would love to see that here with Courtland Sutton, getting more targets, getting involved, having some confidence. What a perfect way to do it than the road game, you know, in a hostile environment where it's hot as hell and it's humid, and you have to figure out how to really get things going here. I like that pick there, Sarah. But now on the defensive side of the ball here for the Broncos, I'm going to say it here because there was a bunch of Jaguars fans that got mad at our good friend George Stoya, because Draymond Jones met with the media a couple of days ago, and he was asked about what type of coach Urban Meyer is and whether or not, you know, is he surprised that he's having a hard time relating with some of these players. He said no. Quite frankly, that's the case. And Draymond actually back in June gave a really in-depth interview with Shelby Hurst on the Shell Shocked podcast about why, and that, you know, really, unless you're doing something, he doesn't really acknowledge you as a player. You could be a 4-star player, but unless you're making plays, he's not going to know who you are. He doesn't hold conversations, so he's not personable with his players. But outside of that, that's where all the outrage came from. And then he had a bunch of Jaguars fans saying, who the heck is Draymond Jones? Well, you know, you forgot about Dre, man. And I tell you what, you're going to remember him after this game. And he stood out so much on tape against the Giants there. He and Von Miller were getting pressure on Daniel Jones and that offensive line, who did actually a pretty good job, I guess, you know, Montez Sweat and Chase Young in Thursday night's game. But man, I tell you what, people are going to figure out who Dre is this week, especially in Jacksonville. He's my player that I'm watching on the defensive side of the ball. Who are you watching on the defensive side?
I'm with that, Cody, man. I think didn't even Von Miller give some Kobe and Shaq love to Draymond? I mean, yes. Where's Bradley Chubb fit into that? His feelings hurt, I think, on the way, but I love it. I love that pick. For me, defensively, and I called for this during the game, I said, I can't wait for the Kyle Fuller bounce back game. And I think that he obviously did a really good job immediately making my tweet a candidate for old takes exposed with a couple of key pass breakups in that game against the Giants. But I'm still looking forward to the Kyle Fuller bounce back game. You know, we didn't see him start off exactly on the best foot. No pun intended, as he tripped down the field on a big play to Darius Slayton against the New York Giants. So definitely want to see Kyle Fuller come out and have a big game in this one, especially you lose Ronald Darby. I think everybody's saying, all right, well, let's look at Patrick Surtain. He's the literal replacement. But how about Kyle Fuller now stepping into the cornerback one role, the veteran of this team on in the defensive backfield, a guy who's made more plays on the football than just about anybody since he came into the league, which is crazy. I want to see that kind of ball production in this game from Kyle Fuller. I want to see him frustrate Trevor Lawrence, and he does get the ability to get a clean throw off. I want to see Kyle Fuller come out and consistently just tick that guy off, because he can't fit it into any window, because Kyle Fuller is an all-pro caliber cornerback who should still be playing at an elite level. He's not even 30 years old yet. So I want to see Kyle Fuller go out there and have that big bounce back game, really prove why the Denver Broncos coveted him so highly as a free agent.
I like that, and I agree with you there, Sarah. Broncos Country, let us know, do you agree? Who are your players to watch in Sunday's matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars? Let Sarah and myself know. But coming up here in just a moment, Sarah and I, we're going to get into players that we feel like need to step up. And it's not necessarily a negative thing, but players who we feel like need to have a big game against the Jaguars this Sunday, coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, let me tell you about BetOnline.ag, the sponsor of today's episode of the show. And we're back and better than ever. And all eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start another football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With the new updated site and interface, you can get even more odds, props, contests, and all the information you need at BetOnline.ag. And they continue to be the number one source for everything football. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today using promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit. Not to mention, don't forget to use that promo code once again, Locked On today. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season right here. BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Your online sportsbook experts, BetOnline.ag. Jumping into the fourth quarter, today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. Just a reminder, Broncos Country, if you love this podcast, you love the information that Sarah and I bring to you, we appreciate it, and we appreciate all your interaction in the comment section. It would mean the world to us if you'd hit that subscribe button here on YouTube so you can get all the daily action and content, not to mention on your favorite podcasting writers, free and available everywhere you get your podcast. Lockdown Broncos, we are here for Broncos Country. But Sarah, getting into our players that we feel like need to step up, you released a really good article recently on predominantlyorange.com about five players that you felt like need to step up in this game against the Jaguars. And a lot of people, when they see that or when they hear step up, they think, okay, they need to do better. I don't think it necessarily means that. I think that, you know, you have to step up to the moment. For me, I'm going to give you my offensive guy here. I'm going to go with Netane Muti on the offensive line here as some player that needs to step up this week, because obviously Graham Glasgow, the starter at right guard, he's not expected to play, obviously, as he undergoes more testing on a potential heart condition there. Netane Muti fulfilling that role there at right guard. We've seen him do it before. We've seen him step in, and we've seen him be very, very effective. Now is the time to continue to double down on that, continue to prove that, because this is really an audition, in my opinion, for Netane Muti to be a long-term guy at right guard. Obviously, as we know, is the contract situation for Graham Glasgow. The Broncos could get out of that after the season, but more importantly, monitoring the continued situation of his health, he may have to retire, and I hope that's not the case, because Graham Glasgow is a good offensive lineman. He's a good player. His teammates love him. Very selfless in what he does. He does a lot of things for guys inside that locker room, and when he's healthy, he's pretty good in terms of the run game, the Broncos, what they need there. So you'd be losing a very key guy there, but for a guy like Netane Muti, the NFL next man up mentality, you have to take advantage of this opportunity. So he's going to be my player on the offensive side of the ball that I feel like needs to step up for the Denver Broncos against the Jaguars this Sunday.
I love that pick. And I think that you're absolutely right, Cody. He does need to step up in a big way. Netane Muti is a guy that pretty high expectations for a guy all considered. I mean, a sixth round pick, but got a lot of love from Pro Football Focus in the pre-draft process. And then, like you said, played a really good game this year against the Carolina Panthers. Some highlights. Real blocks. You know, I had fun to all 22 back when, you know, the NFL actually made it available to all of us, you know, just peasants and regulars. But that was a fun game to watch. And I reckon this is going to be a fun game to watch for him as well. And I chose a guy that, man, it's going to be interesting to see. I think he's going to get a lot of TV attention. Kendall Hinton, you know, the Hall of Fame quarterback, Kendall Hinton, the replacement, a guy that someday there's going to be some kind of Netflix movie or some kind of movie or special at 30 for 30. Talk about Kendall Hinton, the practice squad wide receiver that became a quarterback for a day. I think absolutely in this game, you know, Jerry Jeudy going down with an ankle injury, the Denver Broncos brought Kendall Hinton up to squad. That's significant. I think anybody that would have made any predictions would have said, oh yeah, Tyree Cleveland, they protected him week one, right? Or Seth Williams, the sixth round pick in the draft, who's got the physical skills and the special teams ability as well. I think definitely it's substantial that the Broncos called up Kendall Hinton, and I'll tell you why. He's one of their best slot guys, and he was a player that was ascending into a role out of the slot, if not for just the team's ridiculous depth at the position. Vic Fangio called him out as being the best player after OTAs, or the most improved player anyway, at OTAs. And I think that obviously, you know, you go through a quarterback battle in training camp, you don't always get to see whether or not guys are really stepping up and, making those plays on a consistent basis. Not everything is flashy, even for the wide receivers who do get a lot of looks in training camp and preseason. But for Kendall Hinton, you're going to be able to get into the rotation out of the slot. You're going to be one of probably four guys, unless they decide to use Deontay Spencer more than I assume. You're going to be one of four guys seeing snaps at the wide receiver position. So how are you going to respond? How are you going to step up? How are you going to make those plays, those third down conversions? Can you go from being the guy that's, hey, good on Kendall Hinton, he's doing his best out there at quarterback. Now it's third and seven, and Teddy Bridgewater needs you on a conversion play. You got to go out there and make that catch. You got to go out there and run that route. You got to go out there and get past the sticks. You got to make the play after the reception. I'm looking for Kendall Hinton to step up big this week.
I like that. Not to mention, too, he brings an underrated aspect as a blocker. I mean, we go back to the preseason game against the Minnesota Vikings. That block he had to spring Jerry Jeudy up on a mesh concept. That's exactly what you're looking for. And I think that's exactly why Coach Zach Azani had asked the organization, hey, this week, let's elevate Kendall because we can do a lot of things with him. I think he's probably more in a position to get offensive reps than Deontay Spencer. But then again, Sarah, we could always be surprised. But I do agree with you. I think you make some very valid points there. Defensive side of the ball now, I'm going to kind of switch things over here. You know, one player I think that I would like to see kind of step up a little bit this week would be Mike Purcell. Now, in my opinion, going back, he had a quiet game against the Giants, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, right? But you want to be able to see him make a couple of those plays where he stocks a guy, you know, 1 yard or even at the line of scrimmage where, you know, no gain or behind the line of scrimmage, things that we were used to seeing him do last year when fully healthy. This was truly his first game back 100% against the Giants. So I expect him to be a little bit more comfortable, but I do think that as Shelby Harris is dealing with a wrist injury, we don't know his status yet for Sunday as of the time of this recording. I want to see a little bit more from Mike Purcell. And also it might create an opportunity with Shamar Stephen with his injury. We might see some McTelvin Agim, especially if Shelby is not able to go. But Mike Purcell, he's the anchor, the true nose tackle that the Broncos need to really plug the A gap, and specifically on plays where they run stretch. Jaguars love to run play action. They love to run stretch. If he can disrupt and get through that A gap and cause pressure for Trevor Lawrence, great things are going to happen for the Broncos defense this upcoming Sunday. Who is your defensive player that you feel like needs to step up here against the Jaguars?
Well, I'm staying on the defensive front, and I'm going to say Bradley Chubb. And, of course, that comes with a huge asterisk or caveat or whatever you want to say of whether or not he actually plays. But I think Bradley Chubb, absolutely, if he plays in this game, he's going to need to step up in a big way. And I think the reason for that is because all the attention now after week one, right, is going to be on the two guys we've already talked about, Draymond Jones and Von Miller. Those two guys, I don't care how much Jaguars fans or how little Jaguars fans know who Draymond Jones is, I guarantee you he's going to be a focus in their, or he has been a focus in their offensive film meetings this week. So going to have to account for those guys. And how does Bradley Chubb do, whether or not he has a package of plays in this game, or if he plays 30, 40, 50% of the plays? We don't know if he plays at all. So if he does play, I think Bradley Chubb is a guy that we're looking at really needing to step up in this game and take advantage of some opportunities, especially going back to the game. Pressure the quarterback. Bradley Chubb is a guy that we've seen play through some serious injuries before, so won't be a surprise to see him out there, but also wouldn't be a surprise given there's 16 games left this season to see the Broncos keep him on ice for another week. So if that's the case, I'm definitely looking at the pass rushers right behind him, you know, starting with Jonathan Cooper and Malik Reed, obviously. But I'm also thinking, Cody, a little interesting wrinkle the Broncos could maybe throw into this game. Trevor Lawrence was absolutely destroyed in the college football playoff by the Ohio State pass rush. And who were the two guys that terrorized him the most in that game? That would be Jonathan Cooper and Baron Browning, who just both so happen to be Denver Broncos right now. So if I'm Vic Fangio and Ed Donatell and all those coaches, I'm thinking, man, how can we really rattle this guy's cage? Let's give him a little PTSD from the college football playoff and send Baron Browning and Jonathan Cooper at him off the edge.
Hey, I like that a lot, you know, for a young guy too. They know some of his tendencies as well. Obviously, you know, watching film this week, that's huge. But also playing against him, they know some of the things he likes to do. Now, one of the things Trevor Lawrence is really good at, he'll take his initial drop back, right? And then pressure comes. He's really good at spinning out, kind of how Patrick Mahomes does, spinning out to the left or to the right, extending plays. And that's really where the Broncos coverage has to come in. So it's really about really attacking the near hip. I wonder if we're going to see a little bit of Baron Browning. We didn't get to see much of him last week against the Giants, but we will see a lot of Jonathan Cooper this week, potentially. Obviously, if in fact Bradley Chubb does not play, or even if Chubb plays, he might be on a little bit of a pitch count. But I do agree with you. I think those are the players you have to keep an eye on, because Draymond and Vaughn, they did their job. And one of the players I mentioned, Mike Purcell, could you imagine Mike Purcell there on the interior? And then the other outside guy that you mentioned, those guys could help make things a little bit easier for the Broncos in this game. But Broncos country, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to watch and listen to Sarah and I here talk Denver Broncos, Jacksonville Jaguars week 2, our keys to victory, players to watch, and players we believe need to step up. Just a reminder, we got you covered with the post-game report following the Broncos Jaguars games here on the YouTube channel. So make sure you hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already, so you're notified and that you're in the loop for all things Denver Broncos related, courtesy of Sarah and myself. Both of us, we covered the Denver Broncos for 9 News and the Locked On Network. You can get this coverage every single day. Free and available everywhere on your favorite podcasting provider, not to mention here on YouTube. Hit subscribe. Can't wait to catch you guys for the post-game report.